Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow now, is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk. Welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, news-making interviews with the biggest names in rock and metal. Coming to you each and every Thursday with new episodes. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss one. And thank you for listening, and thank you for checking out the show around the world, wherever you are, sharing links, liking the episodes, all of that good stuff. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. As I tell you guys every week, every interview you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation, which you can hear live Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Faction Talk, Sirius XM channel 103, or anytime on the Sirius XM app. If you only listen to this podcast and you're in the US or Canada, you're only getting a tiny taste of what I do live on the radio each and every day. So come on board and join me for Trunk Nation. If you'd like a free opportunity to listen to the show for 3 months, no credit card required, get your free trial subscription by going to SiriusXM.com/EddieTrunk and sign up and hear what you've been missing. And hear the entire picture of what I do live 6 times a week on Sirius XM, Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 Eastern on 103, or anytime on the app, and the extra show Mondays, 5 to 8 Eastern on Sirius XM channel 39, Hair Nation. We got on the podcast for you this week an interview I did a couple weeks ago with Wolfgang Van Halen. Wolf has been on my show a number of times since he launched his solo career. First met Wolf when he was playing with Mark Tremonti's band a number of years ago. Now, of course, he's doing very well with Mammoth WVH. The second album is out there right now. Really good record. And, you know, I really appreciate Wolf always taking time to do my show. He even came to my home studio in Vegas a couple times. We had some great conversations there. And this was a really good conversation, too, because so many times when artists do interviews, it's in advance of their album coming out. And I get that because you want to get the word out about your record and all of that. Like last week, the Mick Mars show, Mick talked a lot about other songs on his album, which you're not going to be able to hear till February. But I wanted to have Wolf on because the second Mammoth album has been out now for a little bit, and he can talk more in detail about it. And most of you have had a chance to hear it if you're a fan. There's that, and also the fact that Wolf was willing to talk about anything, and we did talk about anything, and as you'll hear in the interview, we also took a bunch of questions from the audience that was listening live that day. So this was really a cool, different, fun one, and I appreciate all the callers, and I appreciate Wolf making so much time for me. And again, another reason why, if you can get Sirius XM, you should join me live, because as you're about to hear, you might have been able to call in and talk to Wolfgang Van Halen, as many people in the interview coming up had a chance to do, as you will hear for yourself. Remember, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page for info and updates. EddieTrunk.com is the website. And without further ado, this week on the podcast, here is Wolfgang Van Halen. Wolf, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
Good. It's weird to talk to you over the phone and not sit in my place in Vegas like the last couple times.
Yeah, is this the first time? Like, it's like usually it's a Zoom or we're hanging out in person. I don't know if we've done this on the phone yet.
We're doing it old school today. We're just doing a good old phone call today. Nothing wrong with that every once in a while.
I'm into it.
Yeah. So listen, man, we've not had a chance to talk because I know you got so busy with the release of the record and getting right out on the road and all of that. But congratulations on this second record. It is.
Thank you.
It's awesome. And, you know, I think immediately to the old adage where people say, well, artists have their whole career to write their first record. And then the second record comes around and that's where the pressure really comes in. For you, did it feel that way, or was this material you had had for a while as well?
No, it definitely felt that way. I think my mission statement for the record was just make sure it's not a sophomore's slump. Just don't mess it up, you know? So luckily, I think we avoided that, at least actually factually. I think we dodged that, which is nice. I wanted to be proud of it. You know, if not, more than the first album, I just wanted to avoid that sophomore slump. It was a challenge.
Well, I absolutely think you did. But the reason I think it's really interesting for you is because the first album is killer as well. But I mean, I remember just hearing about that first record for a long time from a lot of different people who would be like, hey, did you hear Wolf's record? And I was like, no, it's not out yet. And it seemed like that went on for like 8-9 years. So there was a really long gestation period on that first record. So for this one, was it completely different process? You went in, you wrote, you recorded and turned it around pretty quickly?
Oh, it was very, very different. First album was recorded over 3 years, starting in 2015. Ending partway through 2018, this literally 2 months. I tracked the music in a month, and then I had to tour Europe with Alter Bridge, and then I came back and then finished the record in another month in January. It was like November. I'm sorry, it was like September of last year, and then January of this year that we finished everything. So it was in a much smaller time window. So it was definitely a challenge in comparison. I think maybe next time for Mammoth 3, we might spread it out just a little bit more, not take 3 years, but also not take 2 months.
And what about actually writing the songs? Because the same deal, I mean, with the first record, you were writing songs, I'm sure, for a long time, even back to when you were even in Van Halen, I would think, in terms of writing the material. Is there anything on two that was written a while ago, or did you just write it freshly, like just before you recorded it?
Yeah, I think, well, anything, you know, the way I write is usually I record something on my phone, and then maybe it's just like a riff or like 30 seconds or a minute of like an idea showcase. And sometimes that's all it ever really is. But then other times, like, I'll find it and be like, wait, this actually has something to it. And then you work it up and it becomes a whole new song. So yeah, there were definitely some moments like that, but almost all of the ideas on the album, came between, you know, the last album and now. I think, Another Celebration at the End of the World, was that idea that kind of set the tone for the record in wanting to, put down more aggressive, sort of up-tempo, heavier, sort of stuff. And the rest just kind of followed.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, that I would think would have been a big, big change for you going into the second record is going into that first record, nobody knew what to expect from you. You were coming off in the release of it, you know, incredibly emotional with Distance and your dad passing away, and then everybody looking at you and saying, okay, what is this guy going to be on his own? Is it going to be stuff that sounds like Van Halen? Is it his own stuff? I remember you saying to me in an early interview, you're like, your dad always said to you, you do you. But I'm sure it took you a long time to get people to understand that you were going to do you. And you had to deal with that a lot on the first record to like really people really identify what you were going to be and who you were going to be as your own artist. Now going into two, that's kind of, do you feel like that's all dissipated now? Like people understand you're doing your own thing now?
Oh, not at all. I think maybe people who are familiar. Absolutely. But I think my entire life I'll be fighting against that. And that's just a matter of fact, you know? But I think people who are familiar with it, obviously, there's a lot of wonderful fans who champion us and are proud to see me be my own person. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, to have. I'm very thankful for the people who are so supportive in that. But yeah, I mean, that's something I'll always be working against. I mean, it's impossible not to. My father was who he was, and that's always going to be a thing that is a part of the conversation. So, but you know, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to be a part of the legacy, but at the same time, I'm happy to be my own person and to see what I can accomplish in my own right.
Look, I mean, I'm laughing because I mean, you've handled it remarkably well. You've even had some fun with it at times, whether it be on social media or in the videos and all of that, which I think is a great way to handle it as well. But I'm surprised because I would think at this point now with two complete records and people knowing what you're going for and what you sound like and what you're looking to do, you're telling me there's still people out there that want you to do what? Like recreate Fair Warning? I mean, what do people say to you?
I played in Van Halen for 12 years and there's still people who think I didn't play anything and it was all tracks. So there, you can never change everybody's mind, you know?
Was it 12 years?
Yeah.
God, I can't believe. What year did Different Kind of Truth come out?
2012.
So that record's 11 years old now. That's crazy, too.
Yes, it is.
Amazing. And last time I talked to you, I had some fans call in and tell me that they couldn't get that record on streaming. Has that changed? Uh-huh. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. the contract ran out on its on putting it up on streaming services. So we've been working on getting it back, but there are some people involved who do not like that record and are not making it easy to get it back up.
People that were involved in the record?
Yeah.
Might that person commonly be known by three initials?
Probably. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can put it together. I hate to say it because you know, people will think I'm making stuff up. It's like, man, I'd love to have the record back up there, but he doesn't like it, and he's not working with us to get it back up there. So I hope people who like it have a physical version of it.
I do. I got a CD, and I'm going to hold on to it and for dear life right now. But that, well, look, I don't want to put you in an awkward spot, but what?
I live in an awkward spot. Eddie.
I know, but I don't want to be that guy to pound you with this because I do want to talk to you about your own band a lot here. I really do. But can you shed any light on what goes on with that guy? I mean, nobody can figure out, even from an outsider's perspective, what's going on there. I mean, do you have a relationship with him? Do you have dialogue with him? Do you have any idea why things are so difficult?
No, I don't. I think that's why I'm having such a wonderful time with Mammoth. I think throughout my time in Van Halen, you learn things that you want to do and you want to apply. And then you also learn things that you don't want to apply. And I think that's why I've been so excited to do Mammoth and to have something from its inception be something pure where, you know, you can talk about things and there's not really any big challenges other than weathering the storm together instead of the storm being dealing with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Going back to your record, and your career. I don't think I had a chance to talk to you about the videos you've made from this record so far, which are fantastic videos. Including, I mean, just some funny stuff. If people haven't seen them, they're on your website right now. I noticed, I think it's in and I'm All Right. I believe you even got your mom doing a cameo in there, right?
Yeah, she's the ticket lady for the Battle of the Bands, and I'm all right.
And that was where, at the Whiskey?
Yeah, we got to film that at the Whiskey. It was really cool.
Have you ever, in any capacity, participated in a Battle of the Bands?
I have not. I mean, I've done, I did like little contests or performances throughout middle school and high school, but never an official Battle of the Bands.
Yeah. And where do the ideas for the videos come from? Are they from you or a director, or where's the concept
from? They're
from
me. And then our awesome director, Gordy, kind of translates them to a visual medium. Don't Back Down, Into Another Celebration, Into I'm All Right as kind of a light trilogy of the right. of the evil Wolfies. It's dumb, but it's funny. You know, you got to have fun with it.
Totally. And I also, one of my favorite parts, if people take a second to look, is I think it's in I'm All Right, where your mom is working the door and the other bands playing and the names of the bands. You had Ultra Bridge on there. And
yeah, you got to pause
remember
it on that screenshot. We had a lot of fun with those names. Prince, but spelled P-R-I-N-T-S. Ultra Bridge, Slush, featuring Mike Konetsky and the Contractors.
Right. Instead of Slash and Miles, right?
Peep Derple. Just really, really dumb stuff. It just made us giggle.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Let me ask you about playing live now. As everybody knows, when you make the records, you do them all yourself. And when you go out, you have a phenomenal band that plays totally live, which I respect so much. And I know many of the guys. How has it been? Because you've been one of the bands on the Metallica tour that has been going out there and, opening for them on their No Repeat 2 out of 3 night deals. How has that whole experience been going on before Metallica?
It's been unbelievable, man. The stage itself is so hilarious and extravagant and insane. It's wonderful to be a part of. I've never been a part of anything like it. The crew and especially, man, the band have been so kind and welcoming and supportive, man. It's absolutely crazy to be a part of.
I saw Lars and talked to him a couple weeks ago because I was at Power Trip, which they played, and I was sitting talking with him.
I'm so bummed I missed Power Trip, man.
Yeah,
it was so awesome.
It was crazy. It was a pretty crazy scene. And for me, it was really cool. They only did 2 bands a day because I'm old and I don't like the endurance test.
Oh, dude, that's the dream. That is my dream. Just 2 bands a day. That's the dream. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just don't kill everybody. So everybody's fresh and you got a great, you got 2 killer bands. You get there 6, 7 o'clock. You're out at 11. It's awesome.
Perfect.
But he was saying, like, I was talking to him about the concept of doing this and like, it's such an ambitious thing that they're doing because so many people call this radio show who are fans and bitch and moan about artists with deep catalogs playing the same songs every tour. And for them to not repeat a song and not even repeat an opening act is amazing. But for you being one of those opening acts, there's a challenge there because you can't be on the road and only play once or twice a week, right? So are you spinning off and doing your own stuff?
Yeah, that is a very, that's been a headache for our manager and for our booking agent, but they have brilliantly pulled it off and allowed us to kind of funnel in and out. Because not to get into the weeds, but like there's things called radius clauses where like in contracts, you're not allowed to play like near a place that you're already contractually obligated to play with when you're opening for somebody. So it's quite the complicated puzzle to put together, but our brilliant team has managed to figure out how to navigate that, and it's worked out.
And you have more with them coming up, right? Next year,
we have 2 more shows this year. I think Detroit is one of them, and I want to say St. Louis. I can't remember. And then next year, we have a whole other year with them. It's crazy.
How have you gone down with them? Is the band gone over well?
Oh yeah. We found that, first of all, the crowds have been very supportive and very kind and wonderful. But we found over time that, tempo is something that the crowd seems to really respond to. So we've actually heard opening with Another Celebration at the End of the World. And from that moment, we seem to kind of get the crowd going, and it really works out. So luckily, we have a kind of diverse catalog that we can pick the heavier tunes to really kind of just hype the show up. And it's been working, so I'm stoked.
So, but by tempo, you mean moving it kind of fast, right?
Yeah. You know, Another Celebration is kind of an upbeat, faster song, you know, just trying to pick the heavier and faster songs, and the crowds have been responding pretty well.
Yeah, that's really cool. And in addition, now you've got your own headline run as well around all of that, right?
Yeah, this is kind of our first real true headline run. It's going to be crazy. We got Nita Strauss opening for us. It's going to be a really good time.
And that's basically at like the theater level, House of Blues level, right?
Yeah. We're playing. It's crazy. This is our biggest tour yet for us. It's a crazy, super grateful that people are wanting to show up and see us. We have we're doing VIP stuff now for the first time. It's really, really crazy. It's going to be so fun.
As an artist, Wolf, I love, as a fan, the bands I really want to see and hear, my favorite is to go and see them in a great club or even a great theater, like House of Blues level venue.
Those are the best shows,
that's my
man.
Favorite.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite. You can see, hear everything great. I mean, I get the enormity of the stadium and the festival and the experience of it for people who like that. But if I really want to see a show, that's where I want to see a band. But for you as a performer, do you have a preference?
Oh yeah. I absolutely prefer the smaller sort of, you know, when we played Europe, some of my favorite shows were, you know, a 400 seat club that's just dark and sweaty and everybody's just having a crazy, amazing, awesome time. Those are some of the best shows I could ever play as a musician. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. And one other thing and I know you've been nice enough to take a couple questions from the audience, which we appreciate.
Yeah,
we're going to
bring
a couple people into the conversation here today. But I wanted to ask you about the guitar solo in Take a Bow, which is just brilliant. And
thank you.
I'm curious. I mean, goes without saying, as far as a lead guitar player, that your dad had a big imprint on you. But besides your dad, who were the guitar players that really shaped you? Who are the lead guitar players that you really love?
You know, it's funny being around my father my whole life. Obviously, I think just through osmosis and just being near it, that will always be my true number one. But as I grew up, you know, I've been a fan of so many. Paul Gilbert was a big guitar player for me growing up. I had a really, really strong Dream Theater phase growing up. Mike Portnoy as a drummer and Petrucci as a guitar player, I was really into. But for more modern guitar players, Aaron Marshall from Intervals, he is my number one guy right now. And he is very, very inspiring. I love his melodic sensibility and what he's able to accomplish in his melodic instrumental music. It's badass.
I'm not familiar with him. I have to look that one up. I've not heard of them.
Oh, he's awesome. You'll love it. He's awesome.
All right, cool. Good to know. When you played those couple Van Halen songs at the Taylor Hawkins tribute at those shows, how did it feel for you to do that? I know it's something that you resisted doing for a long time, but to play lead guitar on your dad's stuff and honor him and honor Taylor at that, how did that all feel for you when you were doing it? And how did you feel about it when you were first, did you offer, or did they ask you to do Van Halen songs?
No, Dave asked me and I said, I wasn't sure. And it took me a week or so to really wrap my head around it. It was very emotional, very difficult for me. Still is, you know, I wouldn't, that's not something I took lightly. And it seemed like if there was going to be a moment to do it, that was it. And I'm proud. And happy that it went how it went.
Is that the type of thing, like, do you have to sit there and work through that stuff on guitar, or had you done it so many times with your dad just kind of jamming and messing around that it was second nature?
I knew the bass parts and the drum parts, but I never actually learned the guitar parts, so I had to do that all by myself, and it was tough, very emotional. I don't know. I think people from from a fan perspective, I could understand, you know, listening to Van Halen is that connection to my father. But I listening to Van Halen is very difficult for me. I can't really do it much anymore.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. But for that, you actually went and pulled up those songs and had to listen and like anyone else would do and pull it apart?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Amazing. Listen, man, I don't want to keep you too long, but I appreciate your time today. And I promise the callers they'd have a chance to say hi. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So let me bring a couple people on the air and see what they have to say. And here's Jim in Memphis as our first caller. Jim, you're on with Wolfgang Van Halen.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, Eddie. Hey, Wolfgang. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure, Jim. What's your question?
How you doing?
Well, hey, I just wanted you to know, Wolfgang, and I really mean this, when your first album came out, it was the best album of 2021 as far as I'm concerned, and it was so solid, and I just wore it out whenever I went to gym, listened to all the tracks on there, and then the new album, for you to do that in 2 months and put that quality of work in on the second album, it's extremely comparable to the first, and it's just solid all the way through, and I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate this new music that you put out, because I think it's some of the best out right now.
That's very, very kind, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. I'm going to let you go because your phone was super noisy there in the background. But, well, that's a good way to start calls. I don't, Wolf, I can't promise they're all going to be like that, but. One thing I want to point out about the new record, too, that struck me immediately when I heard it is, and you told me this in past conversations, that of all the instruments you play, and you play them all, that your favorite is drums. And I got to tell you, man, right from the get-go with Right, which opens the record, the drums are front and center and killer. I mean, you really even went for it to my ears for a whole nother level on the playing on that front.
Oh yeah, there's even like that double kick, almost Meshuggah-esque thing at the end of the solo. That's one of my favorites. That was really fun to add that kind of flavor to a Mammoth song. That's one of my favorites.
And do you cut the, like, when you build these records, since you're doing them all yourself, what's the order of how you go in terms of laying of tracking stuff?
Yeah, drums are first, and then bass, guitar, vocals, and you know, guitar solos kind of at the same time.
And then when you do vocals, the harmony vocal, like, you double yourself on the harmonies, right?
Yeah, you kind of do them all at once. Depending on how difficult the song is to do, you know, you do all the leads and then you go through and you do all the harmonies.
Do you envision at any point wanting to make a record with other people on it, whether your current band or just other people, and collaborate? Or do you always you think you're always going to want to do it this way?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've done that in the past, but you know, Mammoth from its inception was, you know, my artistic sort of output and my creative expression. And I think the best way to get that done is the way I currently do it. And plus, I enjoy it. You know, I think I don't really get the opportunity to play drums too much anymore unless I'm recording. So I'm sure maybe down the line, if I'm like, I don't feel like doing this, this would be a good time to, you know, hey, Ronnie, play the bass on this part. Hey, Gary, you want to play drums on this one? But I just have so much fun doing it. I'm not sure if I'm ready to give that up anytime soon.
You know what the other great benefit of being the only one on your records? 12 years from now, nobody can tell you that you can't put the record back out.
Exactly. See, those are the things you learn over a career that you want to avoid.
Exactly right. Let's say hi to
you make for the future.
It's exactly right. Here's Logan. Logan's in Ohio. Hey, Logan, you're on with Wolfgang Van Halen.
What's up, Logan?
Hey, guys. Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to say when you first put out the video for Distance a few years ago, obviously it was real emotional. But last summer, the song really kind of took on a whole new meaning for my family and myself, as my sister passed away when she was 22. And that song was played at her calling hours, and it was just a big thing for my family and myself. So I just wanted to say thank you very much for the song, man. It's been amazing and definitely brought us all a little bit closer. So thank you.
That's an honor, man. I'm so sorry to hear about that. Loss is never easy, but it's an honor to hear that that distance brought you even maybe a tiny moment of happiness in such a horrible time.
Yeah, man. I obviously you understand it as well. So thanks again, yeah. and love the new record. And
thank you, man.
Logan, so condolences. Thank you for the call. Well, for that song in particular, for Distance, if I'm not mistaken, you actually wrote that before your dad passed away, right?
Yeah, I wrote that on the 2015 Van Halen tour. I didn't, because everything on the first album was recorded by 2018.
So what was the catalyst, the inspiration for you writing it? Because so many people have and obviously the connection with your dad passing and what's in the video and how emotional it is. But in reality, you had written the song long before. So what was the catalyst for writing the song?
My dad's health had waned very much over the years. It had been bad. You know, he had gotten cancer multiple times. And there was about, during when I was writing that song, and it's sort of just, you're in that headspace and it was more of a wondering what it would be like. And unfortunately, after my father had passed, I realized that Distance was written about what I was going through in that moment. And it's just kind of what happened.
So you because he had battled for so long and had so many, I'm sure, ups and downs, you kind of knew what was coming. And it was in some ways you writing it almost preparing you, therapeutic, for what you knew was inevitable?
I don't know, preparing, because it certainly didn't seem inevitable at the time. I was hopeful till the end, but I think it was more of a what if, and what would it be like whenever it does happen? Cause it does, death comes for all of us, and more of a, overall, analyzing loss as a whole and how it affects, oneself.
So even though it was written before, it was very much inspired by what was going on with you, with your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Here's Jeff in Palm Springs joining us right now. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on with Wolf.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. You got me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say that I got the opportunity to see Mammoth WVH live twice. I saw you open for Alter Bridge, and I saw you open for Metallica. And your band gives me hope for the future of real rock and roll, because, let's be honest, most of our heroes are, in their 70s and 80s, and although Mick Jagger is the freak of freaks, how much longer are they going to be able to do it, right? You know what I mean?
That's very kind, man. Thank you.
But yeah,
Jeff, basically what you're saying is that Wolf needs to keep doing this at this level into his 80s, because the Rolling Stones eventually are going to go away.
I'm doing this forever. I'm doing this forever anyway. So don't you worry about it.
Wolfgang's going to live to be 100. He's going to outlive all of us.
I hope
seriously.
So.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome to see you both times. You're so talented. I'm not just saying this cause I'm on the phone with you, but man, I'm amazed that you play all the instruments on both records. And my love of the new record gave me inspired me to go revisit the first record again, and just get into it again. So if I had to pick a question, what is your favorite song to play live? Now that you're doing this, you have two albums of all original material. Ooh. Like, do you have one song?
Yeah, this next tour is going to be very fun because we're stoked to play as much as we can from the new album. In fact, I did write a lot of the new album with the intention of playing it live because, there's a lot of upbeat, aggressive stuff. I think so far, Another Celebration at the End of the World hits really well live, and it's a lot of fun to play. But I think there are songs like Right and Optimist are two songs I'm really looking forward to seeing how they work live. But if I pick a favorite, I'm going to pick Right.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. One of my favorites on the record, Wolf, is Miles Above Me. I really love that track a lot. That's a killer.
Like a little pop rock song on the album. That's a fun
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love power pop, and it's got that sort of element to it. And do I hear, I do hear on a couple of these songs, there is some, is it piano in there? There is some keyboards going on, right?
Yeah, there's some piano on I'm All Right, Take a Bow, I think somewhere else, but definitely there. It's more textural than anything. I'm not the best piano player, but just to
but
kind of do
cool.
what I can to fit it in.
It does. It adds a sort of like Rolling Stones-y sort of vibe and rock and roll-y vibe to those songs. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. Are there any instruments you don't play, like of major instruments?
There's plenty. Well, I can really do is just the rock stuff. You know, guitar, bass, drums, and sing. Barely any keyboards, piano. And that's about it.
Do you have an ambition to play an instrument that you still want to learn that you haven't yet?
Yeah, I want to learn how to play the theremin. Those things are weird as hell.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You play it by not touching it. I think it's hilarious. I want to figure that out. It sounds awesome. Very spooky.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the 80s rock band Tesla, and they have a song called Edison's Medicine. If you ever listen to that, I don't know if you know it, but it's a kick-ass tune. It's a kick-ass tune, and Frank Hannon, their guitar player, who's a good friend and super underrated player, he plays the theremin on the song, and when they do it live, he always busts it out, and it's so
cool.
That's
amazing.
He does
I gotta check that
thing.
Out. That's awesome.
Yeah, pull up a song called Edison's Medicine by the band Tesla, will hear theremin, and he rocks it live. He sets it up, and it's like a great moment in the show. It's killer.
That's incredible. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'll check it out. Edison's Medicine.
Yep. Here's Mark in Texas. Hey, Mark, you're on with Wolf.
Hey Wolfgang, man. I love having you on. I love hearing you. I got to say, I'm Eddie's age, actually a year older. I'm 60 and got to see, I got to see your dad. Five out of the first seven tours.
Wow.
I got to tell you one quick little line that my buddy said. 1978, we saw him open for Sabbath, and I'm telling you, your dad's band came on and played and went off, and the lights came up, and I'm telling you, it was like that. It was like that commercial where everybody's quiet, and me and my buddy looked at each other, and he said, "What the hell was that?" You know, like everybody just, and then Sabbath comes on, and of course Sabbath's dying at that point. And you know, the energy level, if it was a big knob, you just got turned way down when Sabbath came on and they were fine, but it was like a freight train going into it was just crazy. But anyway, hey, I gotta say a couple of things real quick. I admire so much how you dealt with these idiots that wanted you to play and write like your dad and sound like Van Halen and all that. I just love the fact that you stayed true to yourself. That's the biggest thing. And I think you said your dad pretty much told you that. I was going to ask you what your favorite advice that your dad ever gave you was, but I have a feeling that's probably near the top. And here's my question. I'll get off. I just love what you do.
Thank you very much, man. You've been very kind.
Keep it doing.
Thank you.
One quick question though. When you were touring Van Halen, you mentioned a while ago, this changed my question, that drums is your favorite, you know, kind of one of your favorite instruments to play.
Yeah.
As far as just the fun factor, how much did you being on stage and being around Alex kind of foster that?
Oh, infinitely. There's a very intimate relationship between a rhythm section being, you know, bass and drums, and being able to lock in with Al every night only fostered my love for drumming even more. We were locked in on such a spiritual level. There were so many moments where we would save Dad and he would have no idea. Like, Dad could never count fully to four. He would always end up counting to three. And there were so many times where he'd end a solo early or play something not long enough, and we would save him and fix it without him even realizing. Al and I were quite the fun team during those times. I really look at them fondly.
How is your uncle doing? How has he been now that some time's passed? You know, some people have read into the fact that he's started to post some photos of his old kits and stuff on whatever social media he does. Are you in touch with him often? And can you shed any light on how he's doing?
We talk all the time. He's doing great. He's a very private guy. You know, I never want to speak for him. I know how desperate people are to hear from him publicly. I know he posts on Instagram every now and then. But yeah, I never want to speak for him, but he's doing well and I love him very much.
Well, we all, as fans of the band and fans of his playing, we all hope that in some capacity he gets the interest to want to play again, because I think that's a drummer that should be heard still. And I'm sure he could still has a lot to offer. Is he very, in the past when I've asked you about Van Halen reissues, I know the Sammy Hagar era stuff just got reissued finally. And so is that this, like, in the past when I've asked you about old Van Halen stuff coming out of reissues, you've recently kind of deferred to him on that. Is that kind of where that's at? Is he kind of involved in that
now? Absolutely. That's the mission statement. Al is the guy. I function as a support for him when it comes to any, big VH decision making. So I wish I had more things to say, but I defer to Al in any choices he makes.
Okay, so he's kind of steering that ship now.
Yes.
Did you happen to see there was a video that leaked that was on YouTube for a while of Van Halen back in Donington in England around 83-84? Did you catch that?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't? That was huge news for about 3-4 days.
That's crazy. Yeah, you know, somebody... I have a lot of stuff muted on my social medias because I get tagged in a lot of stuff constantly every day, so maybe I missed it.
Right. No, there was the Van Halen fans are going crazy because there was so little of the old stuff out, but there was a show from just before 84 came out, and they were on before AC/DC, and it was at Monsters of Rock in England. And it's pro shot, and it was up for about a week before it got pulled down for whatever reason. But if it pops up again, I'll make sure I get you a link. It's pretty wild. The craziest thing I didn't know is that there's a moment in the show where both your dad and Michael Anthony are playing keyboards at the same time live. And I never knew that ever happened.
At the same time. That's cool. I know Mike played, and the Cradle Will Rock on a tour or two on the Wurlitzer. I did not know, but there was a moment that they played at the same time. That's badass.
I think it was in Jump. I think they played Jump and they were both on keys, and then your dad had the guitar and then for the solo walked away. But I was like, wow, I never knew that there was ever a moment like that. But it's documented. It's like a pro shot thing. So that's where that leaked or where it came from, it's pretty cool. It was out there.
That's awesome.
Let's say hi to Rich in California. A few more calls for Wolf, and then we'll let him go. Go ahead, Rich.
Cool. Hey, how you doing? Wolf, this is an absolute, absolute honor. I had the opportunity to see you at the Santa Ana show, and God.
Oh, dude, that was like the best show ever.
It was. I got to tell you, we were up. We had the VIP upstairs, straight center, and, man, that was one of the when the show was done, I was literally sad because it was such an awesome show. But I just want to say, it's cool following you on social media, your response and stuff. Love the relationship you have with your mom. It's phenomenal. And I know Eddie kind of touched on it, but your inspiration, when you write your songs, is it something that you start out on the guitar? Do you start on the piano? Or is it in your head that a song just kind of starts popping in? Or what is your process?
More often than not, usually ideas come from like a guitar riff. There are some songs where it's more of a rhythmic birth to it, like the song Rights, the first album on Mammoth 2, that was very much like a drum thing and just the rhythm of it that kind of started that song. But usually, it's like a guitar idea, and then I make a demo like on my computer, and then we go up to the studio and record it piece by piece.
That's awesome. I gotta tell you, man, you are seriously a class act. It's cool to listen to you being interviewed. You just seem to really, really thoroughly enjoy your life. And I want to say congratulations and thank you for doing what you do. You really touch a lot of people's lives. Thank you.
That means a lot, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rich, for the call. You should have seen the list of conditions Wolf gave me before we had to do this interview. If you ever saw what went on behind the scenes, you know, you thought the brown M&Ms thing was bad back in the day. Steve in Tampa.
This is actually me right now. This is all tracks. You know me.
This is all Wolf's fake tracks, or it's AI. It's one of the two. Steve in Tampa. Go ahead, buddy. You're on with Wolf.
Thank you for taking my call. And Wolf, thank you for your time. And no Mr. problem, Roth, man. Konyo, Stay Frosty, some of your best lyrics. Release Different Kind of Truth. Wolf, I love your playing on that. And thank you for getting your dad and the band to play deep tracks. And before I forget, my dad was also a recovering alcoholic. He died about 6 months after your dad, albeit older, so I know how that can be. I saw you on the last three tours. That. Yeah, I know how that can be when things happen. We'll just say that. And I saw you on the last three tours. Man, such great stuff. Love your stuff on Different Kind of Truth. I had a couple. So really. I saw first them in 81 open, and I saw and eventually 10 times you with them three on fire. Those false harmonics. I mean, I was so great. Happy you did that. But the thing being being an only child, do you think that played into you doing everything? I know you're short on time, but on fire, that's great. You expose people that, but do you think you're right with other people and being an only child, do you think that played a part in you doing everything?
I have no idea. Maybe. Yeah, I guess maybe if I had a brother or a sister, maybe they would have done something else and I would have focused on one thing. But I think, I don't know, I just had so much fun growing up in a musical household where there were guitars all over the place and basses, and it just made me hungry to learn everything. So, yeah, maybe you could be right. I don't know.
Heather in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Heather. Jump in here.
Hey, Wolf, how you doing? Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Heather.
So thanks so much for taking my call. I'm so excited. First of all, I'm really excited for the fact that I'm going to be seeing you live again very soon.
I can't wait.
And I also wanted to ask, I think I remember hearing on a couple of interviews before the album came out that you had written a song that was on the piano. It was a piano song, if I'm remembering right. And yeah. I'm just wondering, is that a song that just didn't make the record, or did you maybe rework it into one of the other songs that did make the record?
Yeah, that is actually a song that did not make the record. That's something that I had. It was an idea that came in late, and considering we only had, the 2 months that we had, there was maybe, I want to say like 5 to 7 ideas that weren't as fully fleshed out as what made the album. So I'm sure they could show up on the next album.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe any chance for like a deluxe edition like you did with the first record?
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, that would be a good idea. I would need to finish the ideas to actually get some deluxe content on the album, because I don't know if we have anything available yet, but that'd be fun to do.
Very cool. And I also just want to say congratulations to you and Andrea. So happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm talking to you since you've been a married man. Wolf, congratulations.
Yep, thank you so much.
How'd the wedding go? Were you nervous? Was everything went smooth?
No, I wasn't nervous at all. When it's meant to be, it's meant to be, it was perfect. It was emotional and it was wonderful.
And you didn't do like a big blowout. You did a small thing, right?
No, a small family thing at the house. It couldn't have been better.
That's very good. Very good. Well, congratulations to you both. That's awesome. I'll get a couple more quick ones and I'll let you go. Here's Ray in Maryland. Go ahead, Ray. You're on with Wolf.
What's up, Ray? Hey now, Eddie. Hey, Wolf. Really dig the new album, man, from the song right to the end. I think my current favorite, but it could change 50 times by next week, is Optimist. And my wife and I got to see you open up for Metallica in New Jersey on the U.S. night. Yeah. Man, you look like you were just having a blast up there, and you and your band were killing it, dude. And one thing that hasn't really been brought up too much tonight on behalf of myself and the Sync Army. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being outspoken about how fucking lame it is for bands to be up there faking it. I don't want to drive 3-4 hours to see, to hear a laptop or a CD. So thank you. And you keep being you. You keep being you, brother. And thank you for this time, Eddie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
Amen. What you said. Hey, Wolf, did you see the Milli Vanilli documentary yet?
I did not. I heard it's I heard it was really good.
It's great. And, it's, you know, not my music being a rock guy, but the whole story is unbelievable. And in retrospect, what they went through 30, 35 years ago, it just, it makes me laugh compared to how things are so accepted.
No, it's unbelievable
today,
the way they were lambasted for something that's completely common today.
Yeah.
It's a,
the hypocrisy of it is unbelievable. So to that end, on Monday, I'm having the director of the film on and the surviving member of Milli Vanilli on to talk about all
of it. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. And I, wow. It's funny. So, some of my friends who are musicians are like, could we actually call Milli Vanilli innovators by today's pop standards? I was like, yeah, we probably could. So
wow.
I can't wait to talk to that guy.
Incredible.
Yeah, because he didn't come up in the doc about the hypocrisy of what's going on now, but I can't wait to talk to him about it and be like, hey, because the irony of ironies is now that guy actually goes out and sings truly live in a pop world where he's probably the only one doing it.
Yeah, that's the thing. For me, it's one thing in a pop world where obviously there's, you know, there's a lot of things tracked. The thing that really disappoints me is when it's a rock band.
Yeah.
And you know, like you have, you know, main tracks. It's one thing for fluff, like if you don't, if you need string, you know,
Absolutely.
I've talked about this a lot and so have you, but you know, I just think main tracks, you should be playing them.
Absolutely. I'm not talking about you got one keyboard part and you want to carry a keyboard player. I get that. But we all know there's bands doing a hell of a lot more out there. And I remember you saying that when you put the live band together, your whole deal was that you wanted to get whatever musicians you needed to do whatever needed to be done so that they could recreate it live. And you got great players in your live band. You really do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're doing it, you know, they're just perfect backing you up and delivering the stuff live. We got a couple people waiting over an hour, so I'm going to get them in and I'll let you go. Here's Fabian in Missouri. Fabian, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Eddie, thanks for taking my call, man.
You're on with Wolf.
You hear me?
How's it going?
Yeah, we got you.
How are you? Okay. Well, being towards the end of the line here, most people have asked my question like two different times, so I'm going to pivot. And I was wondering, do you think that as far as writing goes now that you know, kind of accepted and shown that you have a full band, it's not just you, do you think that writing process is going to change any, or is it going to be just still kind of you?
That very much could. I think, you know, like I said earlier, Mammoth from its inception has really been my sort of creative endeavor. But I'm sure as time goes on, I would love to collaborate. I'd love to collaborate writing with my producer, my bandmates. That would be a really fun thing to do at some point, I think, to keep things fresh. Absolutely.
Have you already written stuff or started thinking about the third record, or are you still very much immersed in playing live with this one?
You know, as a songwriter, as a musician, you're always kind of writing. You get an idea here and there. You record on phone just to kind of have it. But yeah, I'm definitely thinking about Mammoth 3 stresses me out because we're still very much within Mammoth 2. I don't think I've had the creative headspace. I think I'm a little full right now on touring and worrying about all that. But I think when I get some time off, when we're done touring, which that's not going to be for a little bit, I will have an opportunity to kind of relax and get back into that creative mode.
All right. One last call. Here's Brent in Kansas joining us. Go ahead, Brent. You're going to finish up with Wolf. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Hey, Wolf, I used to work for a friend of your dad, Steve Ripley, who is the guy behind Ripley Guitars.
Yes.
And I just wondered if I was his audio engineer in the Tractors, and I worked at the church studio there. I wondered if you played any of the Ripley guitars that he and your dad made. And then I wanted to know, what's the status of your guitar line? When's the Sema Hollow Body coming out?
Oh, great question. Great question. Well, first, yes, that Ripley guitar was the main inspiration behind the demo called Ripley that was written around 1984, and that became a song, Blood and Fire, on Different Kind of Truth. And Dad did use the Ripley guitar for it. If you listen to it, you can hear the stereo strings. You can hear some on the left side, some on the right side. Very, very cool instrument.
Hold on, yep. Wolf. Let me stop you there. For people that don't play guitar like me, and what is the significance of the Ripley guitar?
So the cool thing about Ripley's guitar is that so there are six strings on the guitar. Three of them were outputted, so the guitar would output stereo, meaning both sides. You know, mono is one, stereo is left and right. Three strings on the guitar. I can't remember exactly which ones. Three strings would play out of the left side, and the other three would play out of the right side. So if you listen to the song Blood and Fire, which unfortunately, sorry, if you don't own it, you can't listen to it right now. Maybe go on YouTube. You can hear that every different string he's strumming goes to a different side. So it outputs in stereo. Very, very unique, cool guitar.
Your dad had a hand in developing that?
I believe so. I mean, obviously, Ripley was the one to, it was named after him. But I know Dad helped him out. But segueing from cool and unique guitars, best I can. The SA-126, I will have a lot more to discuss, and EVH Gear will have a lot more to discuss next year. So stay tuned. Follow EVH on Instagram. You can follow me, too. I'm going to be playing a new color that I've only played in the music video for another celebration, I think, and I'm all right. We'll have a lot more to talk about next year. I'm very excited.
The gear end of things, because that's the other thing we get a really chance to touch on in this conversation, is that beyond obviously the Van Halen catalog and possible reissues and all of that, the other big component is your dad's gear, the guitars, the amps, everything, which are huge, huge, huge in the business. Is that something that you are dealing with and that you oversee
to
some degree?
That's something I am much, much more involved in. When it comes to Van Halen catalog stuff, that's when Al is doing that, and I'm there to help him. But when it comes to EVH gear, I am fully 100% in with Matt Bruck. The two of us are there as the heads to kind of figure out what's coming. And of course, our wonderful team. We've got a lot that we're working on that we're very excited about, the SA-126 being one of them. So stay tuned next year. You won't have to wait much longer.
Well, listen, man, I can't thank you enough for the time and for doing this today. It's always great to talk
always
to you.
Always a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. Congrats on the album again, Mammoth WVH 2. Mammoth 2 is out now and has been out for a little bit. And it's always cool. I'm always talking to artists like months before the album actually comes out. So it's really cool when you get a chance to talk to someone after everybody's had a chance to listen to and live with the record. And I think that really came through in taking these calls, too, because people are all commenting on the music. So often they haven't heard it yet because everyone's doing stuff so far in advance. So I really appreciate the time and hope to see you out there somewhere soon, and congrats again on the wedding.
Thank you so much, man. I'll talk to you again soon.
And pull up Edison's Medicine if you want to hear some theremin action.
Tesla. Yes, will do.
And lastly, before I forget, and I told Kevin, I'm doing a party for my 40th year in radio in Vegas in December. Ooh. And I told Kevin, and I hadn't told him to give you the invite. You're more than welcome to come. Sammy and Michael are actually going to come out and headline it, but there's going to be tons of people jamming throughout the night. And it'd be an honor to have you. So if you want to come, just talk to Kevin. We'll get you hooked up. It'd be great to have you there.
Got it. Oh, that'd be awesome, man. Congrats.
Thank you, man. I'll see you soon. All right. I appreciate it.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
See you, Wolf. Bye-bye. Well, that was great to be able to do that with Wolf and take calls and have so much time to spread out and get into stuff. The bit about him talking about A Different Kind of Truth from Van Halen not being on streaming essentially because of David Lee Roth was something that made a lot of news headlines at the time that aired live on my radio show a couple weeks ago. So thanks to Wolf for all that info, and hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Again, come on board and join me every day live on Sirius XM, Faction Talk 103, 3 to 5 Eastern, live every day, anytime on the Sirius XM app. Maybe you can call in and talk to some of those folks like you heard happening right there in that interview. Be sure to follow on social media. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you all have a great week. If you are on SiriusXM, I'll catch you every day on the radio. If not, I'll catch you back here next Thursday for another episode of the podcast. Be sure to subscribe, be sure to like, be sure to spread the word, and thanks for rocking. Take care.